Ladies and gentlemen, it is December 1st, 2011. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call. I hope that you are ready for a serious transformation in your life. I am confident that as we go through this material together, we're going to pull out some serious principles that literally can transform you and your bank account, and I am excited. Last night, as I was going through the message for today, one of the things that Napoleon says and what we're going to hear is that if the principles that could be that are conveyed in the story that we're going to hear today could be understood, there would be no need for the remainder of the book. So we're really going to get a lot. I want, myself and everyone to really pay attention and look for the secrets that Napoleon talked about in the author's preface that really are the keys to the universe. So today we're fortunate, we're privileged to have Bill Hartraft sharing with us the first part of Chapter 1. Bill, the call is yours, my friend.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be here. It's just truly a brisk, wonderful day here in Florida. I'm actually here with chatters in my teeth because it's only about 50 degrees outside, and that's cold for us here on the beach in Central Florida. So I have a coat on, and I'm going to do this. No heat going in the house, and I'm going to do this the best I can. But I did read through this a couple of times yesterday, and Paul's right that this what I'm about to read you is basically the whole book encapsulated, and a lot of secrets here and a lot of wonderful things. So really, I'm going to go through it and take my time with it and just really listen and see what you get out of it. It's pretty powerful stuff. The name of this chapter is The Man Who Thought His Way into Partnership with Thomas A. Edison. Truly, thoughts are things, and powerful things at that, when they are mixed with definiteness of purpose, persistence, and a burning desire for their translation into riches or other material objects. A little more than 30 years ago, Edwin C. Barnes discovered how true it is that men really do think and grow rich. His discovery did not come about at one sitting. It came little by little, beginning with a burning desire to become a business associate of the great Edison. One of the chief characteristics of Barnes' desire was that it was definite. He wanted to work with Edison, not for him. Observe carefully the description of how he went about translating his desire into reality, and you will have a better understanding of the 13 principles which lead to riches. When this desire or impulse of thought first flashed into his mind, he was in no position to act upon it. Two difficulties stood in his way. He did not know Mr. Edison, and he did not have enough money to pay his railroad fare to Orange, New Jersey, to meet him. These difficulties were sufficient to have discouraged the majority of men from making any attempt to carry out the desire. But his was no ordinary desire. He was so determined to find a way to carry out his desire that he finally decided to travel by blind baggage, rather than be defeated. To the uninitiated, this means that he went to East Orange on a freight train. He presented himself at Mr. Edison's laboratory and announced he had come to go into business with the inventor. In speaking of the first meeting between Barnes and Edison, years later, Mr. Edison said, "He stood there before me, looking like an ordinary tramp, but there was something in his expression of his face which conveyed the impression that he was determined to get what he had come after." I had learned from years of experience with men that when a man really desires a thing so deeply that he is willing to stake his entire future on a single turn of the wheel in order to get it, he is sure to win. I gave him the opportunity he asked for, because I saw he made up his mind to stand by until he succeeded. Subsequent events proved that no mistake was made. Just what young Barnes said to Mr. Edison on that occasion was far less important than that which he thought. Edison himself said so. It could not have been the young man's appearance which got him his start in the Edison office, for that was definitely against him. It was what he thought that counted. If the significance of this statement could be conveyed to every person who reads it, there would be no need for the remainder of this book. Barnes did not get his partnership with Edison on his first interview. He did get a chance to work in the Edison offices at a very nominal wage, doing work that was unimportant to Edison, but most important to Barnes, because it gave him an opportunity to display his merchandise where his intended partner could see it. Months went by. Apparently, nothing happened to bring the coveted goal which Barnes had set up in his mind as his definite major purpose. Remember that, definite major purpose. But something important was happening in Barnes' mind. He was constantly intensifying his desire to become the business associate of Edison. Psychologists have correctly said that when one is truly ready for a thing, it puts in its appearance. Barnes was ready for a business association with Edison. Moreover, he was determined to remain ready until he got that which he was seeking, until he got the chance. He did not say to himself, well, what's the use? I guess I'll change my mind and try for a salesman's job. But he did say, I came here to go into business with Edison, and I'll accomplish this, and if it takes the remainder of my life. He meant it. What a different story men would have to tell if only they would adopt a definite purpose and stand by that purpose until it had time to become an all-consuming obsession. Maybe young Barnes did not know it at the time, but his bulldog determination, his persistence in standing back of a single desire was destined to mow down all opposition and bring him the opportunity he was seeking. When the opportunity came, it appeared in a different form and from a different direction than Barnes had expected. That is one of the tricks of opportunity. It has a sly habit of slipping in by the back door, and often it comes disguised in the form of misfortune or temporary defeat. Perhaps this is why so many fail to recognize opportunity. Mr. Edison had just perfected a new office device, known at that time as the Edison dictating machine, now the Ediphone. His salesmen were not enthusiastic over the machine. They did not believe it could be sold without great effort. Barnes saw his opportunity. It had crawled in quietly, hidden, in a queer-looking machine which interested no one but Barnes and the inventor. Barnes knew he could sell that Edison dictating machine. He suggested this to Edison and promptly got his chance. He did sell the machine. In fact, he sold it so successfully that Edison gave him a contract to distribute and market it all over the nation. Out of that business association grew the slogan, made by Edison and installed by Barnes. The business alliance has been in operation for more than 30 years. Out of it, Barnes has made himself rich in money. But he has done something infinitely greater. He has proved that one really may think and grow rich. How much actual cash that original desire of Barnes has been worth to him, I have no way of knowing. Perhaps it has brought him $2 or $3 million, but the amount, whatever it is, becomes insignificant when compared with the greater asset he acquired in the form of definite knowledge that an intangible impulse of thought can be transmuted into its physical counterpart by the application of known principles. That's why we're all on this call, that line right there. Barnes literally thought himself into a partnership with the great Edison. He thought himself into a fortune. He had nothing to start with except the capacity to know what he wanted and the determination to stand by that desire until he realized it. He had no money to begin with. He had but little education. He had no influence, but he did have initiative, faith, and the will to win. With these intangible forces, he made himself number one man with the greatest inventor who ever lived. Now let us look at a different situation and study a man who had plenty of tangible evidence of riches but lost it because he stopped 3 feet short of the goal he was seeking. That's it, Paul. And wow, is that ever extremely, extremely powerful. And, you know, it's really what we've been talking about all along is that, you know, what I've tried to do when I've been talking on this call is to inspire people to get a visualization, a picture of the things that they want, the things that they want to succeed at, the legacies they want to leave, the different things they want to be able to give to their children and so on, by calling it self-advertising. And that's by teaching yourself to train yourself to go out and look at different things that are goals of yours, things that you may want to purchase, houses that you may want to live on, beaches that you may want to walk on someday in the world. And by having those, that creates desire. And when you create desire, that creates drive. And when you create drive, that creates action, and then the action begins. And, you know, I have found in my life that when I wanted something really badly and I was determined to get it and at no cost, I mean, don't care what was in my way to get something done or to accomplish something or to meet somebody, I look back over my life and I think 100% of the time I've been able to accomplish every single thing that, you know, I really put my mind to it. I mean, there are a lot of things that I did not accomplish, I'll admit, because I did not put the full weight, my full power behind it. But just like this paragraph speaks about, or this chapter speaks about, that if you put everything you've got behind it and you believe in it and you look forward to it and you visualize it and you do all the basics. You know, people read so much into these things, they think they have to do, you know, 5 million different things to do this. This guy just needed a train ride there and a chance to put himself in front of that person. And that's what he did. And he believed in it more even than the inventor believed in it. And because he put himself there and put himself in front of that person, guess what? He became one of the top salesmen of that Edison dictating machine. So, Paul, there you have it. Great, great first introduction to this book. Very, very powerful, very profound.
Bill, I appreciate that. You did a wonderful job sharing that with us and emphasizing, you know, the critical points. And, you know, as I read this last night and as I heard you go through it again, I'm really looking for, you know, as we go through this book, and I really want to encourage everybody to do this. Let us look for the principles. Now, what's a principle? A principle is something that will work for Bill, will work for Paul, will work for Bernie, will work for DJ, will work for D. It's a universal law. It's a principle that anyone can apply. And this chapter contains three of the most powerful principles ever. And he introduces them in the very first paragraph. He says, thoughts are powerful things when they are mixed with. So here's the question. I think there are a few principles in this story, but there are three principles that we need to know, understand, ponder, write down if you need to write them down, really, really get these ingrained deep within your core. Three principles, and here they are, and Bill's touched on them as well. Thoughts are powerful things when they are mixed with, are you ready for the three? Definiteness of purpose, that's number one. What do you want out of life? I remember listening to an audio by Earl Nightingale called The Strangest Secret. And if you haven't heard that, you can find it for free on the internet. Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. I believe Mark Victor Hansen has a free download on his website. And he said in that audio that if you run into 100 people on the street and you ask every single one of them, what do you want? What's your purpose? What are you out there to get? 97 of them will not be able to tell you. And I've experimented with this as I've talked with people. I'll say, what do you want? You know, and they'll, oh, I don't know, or they'll ramble on, you know, with a bunch of different things. Most people do not have a definite purpose, something that they, like Edwin Barnes in this story, his definite purpose was to go into business with Edison, and it was clear, he knew what he wanted, and he was willing to stand by that until he got it, no matter how long it took. You know, it said he worked for months with no apparent sign of success, but you know what, he wasn't going to quit, he wasn't going to give up. And I love how Napoleon says here in this chapter, he says, what a different story men would have to tell if only they would adopt a definite purpose and stand by that purpose until it had time to become an all-consuming obsession. What a story, what a different story people would have to tell. So that's principle number one. What is your definite purpose? What do you want? What are you willing to stand by until you win? And you know, as we go through this book, you know, Napoleon gives some great guidelines as to how to establish that. I believe one of the most effective ways to establish a definite major purpose is to put it into a dollar amount. We can count dollars. All of the things that we want in our lives, not all of them, but many of them can be represented by a dollar amount. You know, if you want to be debt-free, if you want to have the home, if you want to have the car, if you want to take the vacations, whatever it is, what's the dollar amount? What's the dollar amount? Is it X amount of dollars residual income? Is it a lump sum? Get that dollar amount clear in your head, because it's easy to focus on a clear dollar amount. That's my suggestion. Now, there may be some different ways to do it, but I think that's one of the best ways to figure out, you know, what is that definite purpose that you're focusing on? You know, business is measured in dollars, right? So what is that goal? You know, have that definite major purpose. Step two, or principle two, once we have that definite major purpose, we've got to be persistent. We've got to understand that it's not going to come day one, day two, day three, week one, week through week three, even month one, month two, month three. Okay? For some reason, unbeknownst to me largely, God or the universe wants to know, do we really want the definite major purpose? Are we willing to stand by it? Are we willing to go through the temporary setbacks and the learning curves that we're going to need to go through? And you know what? Most people aren't. They're not. Most people will set a goal and they'll quit after the first obstacle that hits them or the first setback, and they'll actually look for reasons to quit and give up and go back to mediocrity. Man, what a different story people would have to tell if they would adopt a purpose, stand by it with persistence, and understand that temporary setbacks will be in the way, and that's a natural part. That's a natural progression of getting to that definite major purpose. And then the third principle, he says, definite major purpose, persistence, and a burning desire for their translation into riches or other material objects. I'm here to tell you, folks, I've had, for the last probably 5 or 6 years, I had a goal, you know, of X amount of dollars residual income. It was sort of a definite major purpose. It was a goal. I wanted to achieve it. But you know what? I didn't focus on it every day. I didn't turn it into a burning desire. And you know what? The first 5 years I had that goal, I didn't achieve it. I didn't even come close to achieving it. But last year, when I started to focus on that definite major purpose, focus on that dollar amount, focus on it daily and turn it into a burning desire, and I had persistence to go through the temporary setbacks that were in my path, miracles happened. I hit the first 6 months that I started to apply these principles, I hit that goal, and now I've tripled it, and now I'm looking at doubling what I've tripled here in the next few months. So amazing things happen when we understand these principles: definite major purpose, persistence, and a burning desire. And I'll tell you, as we go through this book and this incredible wealth of knowledge and information, Napoleon is going to tell us in clear action steps how we can have that definite major purpose and how we can turn that into a burning desire. He's laid out a scientific formula for us in this book, and I'll tell you what, I'm just thrilled to go through this and be pulling out and refreshing these ideas in my mind and learning new secrets, because I'll tell you what, many people have read this book, very few people understand the message and live by it, and the few people that do understand the message and live by it are rich, plain and simple. That's a fact. So, Bill, anything you want to add here before we open up the lines real quick for a little bit of discussion?
I just want to say, when people are thinking about their definite person, it's much definite purpose. The thing you need to be thinking about is that, you put more plans into taking a vacation than you do in planning out your life. And that's so true. You plan, oh, I want to go to this restaurant, and I want to do this, and I want to go to this beach, or I want to check out this ski resort, or I want to go to this mountain. And people plan that, and then they do it. They do it. They do what they plan to do. But just like Paul said, when you ask people about their lives, what have you planned for your lives, most people stand there and go, I don't know. And so if you don't plan your life, you are just kind of lollygagging out there and just going through your daily emotions and daily rhythms of the difficult things. You see, whatever presents itself to you, you'll deal with it. You have to deal with it. You have no choice. If it presents itself to you, you have to deal with it. Well, present something else to yourself. Present positive. Present good things. Present things that you're looking for, things that you want. And like Paul said, most of the things that we want in this life is a dollar amount. And so figure out what that dollar amount is and then work three times as hard to get it. Three times as hard to get it, because it's going to take that kind of work to get it. So if you want to make $5 million, if you want to make $10 million, figure out how much you have to make a month to get there, and then work as hard to get it. But make sure you just don't put a dollar sign in front of your head. Make sure you put those pictures in front of your head, that self-advertising like I was talking about. Like I also used to say, Jeff Goldblum, before he became a famous actor, he used to get out of the shower every morning and say, I will become a great actor, in the steam on his mirror. So this is what you have to do. Just follow this lesson, and you will become rich. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you, Bill. And, just one other final thought as we're kind of closing the call. I read a book called The Book on Mind Management by Dennis Deaton, and he shared a couple of laws of the mind. And the first law was the mind must think. And the second law is the mind thinks exclusively. In other words, the mind really can only focus on one thing at a time, one thought at a time. So as you're formulating your definite major purpose, and this is really one of the major takeaways from today's call, is figure out what do you really want and what are you willing to stand by until you get. And if it's dollar amount, great. If it's a picture of your dream home with your dream car, whatever it is, that's up to you, right? It's up to you. But keep in mind that the mind thinks exclusively. In other words, it's really difficult or almost impossible to think of 10 or 15 different things at the same time. So a definite major purpose is definite. It's something that you can either see the dollar amount, which is clear, or if it's a representation of pictures that is your definite major purpose, make sure you can close close your eyes and see that picture in clear detail without having to go through a million things. Because again, the mind thinks exclusively. So let's make this purpose a definite purpose. And gosh, this is going to be fun. Set what's set what your definite purpose is, and as we go through this book, you're going to learn the steps to getting that, and you're going to see miracles happen in your life, I promise you. So one other thing I want to encourage you to do, make sure you get this book, and the night before, here's what I'm doing. The night before, right before I go to bed, I'm just reading the principle before, you know, we go through it on the call in the morning. And if you do that, I think it'll really help solidify these principles that we're going through. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines real quick here. My friends, the lines are open. Questions, comments?
Good morning, Paul. It's Mike in Tallahassee. A couple of thoughts. Just impressed. The thoughts and the persistence piece is really becoming apparent. All of this dovetails beautifully into what we were talking about the other day when you talked on the spiritual aspects. You know, Proverbs 23:7 says, a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Echoed in the New Testament, out of the abundance of the heart. You know, what I get in my head ultimately comes out of my mouth. And even in the business, as we develop it and get it in the direction that it's wanted to go, I'm finding that having this definite purpose right here in front of my desk in a 8x10 frame where I'm staring at it day in and day out, I begin to sit here and out loud articulate these things. And Bill, it was very good. You know, you made me rethink. I have to physically re-engineer my path to my goal, how much I want. That definite major purpose just can't be an ambiguous goal out there. There's got to be a way for me to put a roadmap to get there. And rethinking what you said this morning was very inspiring. I need to rewrite this and recraft this so that that is more articulate and achievable. Thank you both for what you're doing.
Mike, thank you very much. Very good point.
Bill from New York.
Yeah. Hey, Bill.
How you doing?
Doing great.
One thing I found, just it kind of spurred the thought again when you said you read that before you go to bed or whatever. But another the thing I found was really helpful, if you actually record the chapter yourself with you saying it and then playing it back, because now you're hearing your voice repeating the same thing, and it's better, even more effective than hearing someone else do it. So if you do the combination of this call and then you recording it, it really ingrains it in your mind.
Bill, I love that. I love that. I thank you so much for bringing that forward. One of the things that I do, for those of you who maybe haven't heard me say this before, I've got the major definite purpose and the self-confidence formula. And if you don't know what that is, we're going to go through it in this book. But I've recorded my own voice, and I've been doing this now for almost a year and a half, recording my own voice, stating my major definite purpose and my self-confidence formula. And then as I hear ideas from the things that I read, like The Science of Getting Rich or Think and Grow Rich, as I hear philosophies and beliefs and truths that I want to ingrain in my mind, I will add those to my recording. And so and it's powerful. I listen to my voice morning time when I'm on the treadmill. I listen to it nighttime before I go to bed. I listen to my own voice, and it's literally, you know, like I'm shaping my own mind and my own subconscious, and I'm noticing that I'm having beliefs. Like, things are happening that are very strange. Like, one of my beliefs is, or one of my statements on my recording is, I have a vibrant health and vibrant energy and a healthy body. Well, what's happened since I've been doing that? You know, I've had this spare tire around my midsection for years, ever since I got married. My wife's a wonderful cook and she feeds me well, and I've always wanted to get rid of it. Well, you know what's happened is I've started to do the thing is melting away. Like, I'm naturally going to the gym every morning. I'm visualizing myself, with a slimmer body and more energy. And without any effort really on my part, it's just like happening naturally because I've recorded that and I'm embedding that within my subconscious mind. So that, Bill, is a very, very powerful, powerful suggestion. Thank you for that.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Hi, this is Cynthia from New York. I was just so inspired and kind of containing myself, cheering as you guys were talking and as the other members added in their comment. And I just want to chime into the chorus. And so one of the pieces of scripture that inspires me is, but for the glory set before him, he endured the cross. And this lines up with exactly what you guys said. He had the end in mind first. He had that definite major purpose in mind first. And then he stepped back and did the actions that it took to fulfill that definite major purpose. And so, as you described what this gentleman did, what Barnes did, he had a visual. He knew where he was going, and he endured getting on the train.
Mm-hmm.
He endured working, and I believe, that if I remember the story correctly, I believe he either worked as a porter or as a janitor at first, just to be in the building, just to be in the company. So he endured all of that because he knew of the glory that was coming before him. And so, yes, then I am compelled to endure whatever work, whatever, you know, when I'm calling up leads and they hang up on me or whatever they say to me, I'm enduring that for the glory that is before me. So I just want to encourage all you guys and say thank you, Paul and Bill. This is great.
Thank you, Cynthia. Really appreciate those comments. Very powerful.
Paul, this is Joy.
Hey, Joy.
Also, too, I'm finding having the book in front of me and reading along as I'm listening helps it sink in. You can put your yellow marker, have it in hand, and be outlining things as you're listening.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. I'm doing the same thing. Thank
you.
Yes.
You know, one of the positives that you just said, Joy, very important, is that when people read, see it, hear it, feel it, your retention rate goes up about 70-75%. Whereas if you're just on the call listening, you're going to daydream. You're going to hear things that are going to trigger thoughts in your head, and then your mind will wander off, and so you won't get it all that's being read to you into your system. That's why it is so important. Like Paul said yesterday, get this book, get it online, or get a copy of it, or you can come borrow my 5 copies of it. I think I have a different cover for every book that I have, and a lot of it's underlined and yellowed out because I've read the book so many times, but that's it. You know, get this book in front of you. Let's go through it together so you'll retain more, because this is so powerful. It's so profound. There you go, Paul.
All right. Anyone else want to chime in here before we close the call?
I just want to compliment what Cynthia said about, you know, going through things and failure. And it says that, like the founder of IBM said, like, would you like me to give you a formula for success? It's quite simple, really. Double your rate of failure. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you put your mind to do something, you don't stop until you get it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's right. Failure is our stepping stones to being successful. We all have to make mistakes. If we didn't make mistakes, how would we ever learn? So that's very powerful too, Marcia. That's very powerful. I mean, I make mistakes all the time, and if I didn't make mistakes, I wouldn't learn from those mistakes. So failure is a positive. Don't look at it as a negative. Absolutely not.
All right, my friends.
Book,
oh, yeah, who's that? I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is Bill again. There's a great book talking about failing called Failing Forward by John C. Maxwell. And
yeah.
It's very powerful because he talks about, you know, the failings that we have, we use them to step forward. So it's a great book.
Absolutely.
I highly recommend it.
I don't have that one. Thank you. I'll definitely get
failing
that.
Failing forward. Yeah, it's an excellent book. It teaches you how to fail and learn from those mistakes so that you can move forward. It's an excellent book. Thanks, Bill.
Very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, friends, for the great discussion this morning. And as we end the call every day, our battle cry, let us move forward with our major definite purpose in mind. Let us have faith. Let us take action and let us recognize temporary setbacks as what they are, temporary, and we can plow through them, kick them right to the side, and move forward to our ideal futures, our ideal vision for ourselves, and be a positive force in our own lives and in many lives around us as we're moving forward in the top 3%, really. That's what the top 3% do. And we are the top 3% working on getting the other 97% into this mindset. So love you guys. Thanks for being on the call. Let's make it a great day, and we'll see you back tomorrow morning for more of these timeless principles. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. God bless.